Oh my goodness. Good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is for you. I hope you're having a fantastic day. My name is Zach Schaumler. This is Strong Opinion Sports, episode 638. Welcome in. And today is going to be a short episode. Let's be very, very clear. Today is basically, what do I even call it? It's going to be like a primer for the NFL draft. I love the NFL draft, but particularly I love round one of the NFL draft. The event is like, someone wrote in on the show recently talking about like their favorite live events in sports, and they even said this basically verbatim, is that like you get to watch guys become millionaires and live out their dreams, and there's all this excitement because NFL teams potentially can change their entire fortune of their franchise and turn things around. The NFL draft is really cool, but particularly the first round is really awesome. So what we're going to do today, I'm going to share questions and predictions and kind of hopes for the NFL draft. We're going to talk about what I hope happens and what I think might happen. Then on Thursday night, after round one of the draft, I'm going to sit down, recap round one of the draft, answer a lot of Patreon questions. And then at some point next week, we'll talk about the standouts from the rest of the draft, rounds 2 through 7. Like I would imagine, for example, Spencer Rattler, the quarterback who played at Oklahoma and then South Carolina. That's the kind of person that's going to get drafted in the third round. That's going to grab my attention. Him, Michael Pratt, the quarterback out of Tulane, stuff like that I find really fascinating. But today, I want to talk all about what's going to happen on Thursday, and I'm really excited for that. One thing that's really interesting about this year's draft, something we haven't had in a while, is a ton of the top quarterbacks in the draft are actually attending. You know, in recent years, we saw Tua Tagovailoa stay home in that wood-paneled house with his family in Alabama. He watched the draft from home. Now, that was the Rona year. That makes sense. But Trevor Lawrence, the first-round pick after that, right? He stayed home. He watched it with his family. This year, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, these are all guys who are going to be at the draft. And it's very likely all of the top three picks in the draft are all going to be there live on the day of the draft. I find that very exciting. Very, very cool. And I want to be very clear about a prediction I have right off the bat. I believe it's going to happen is the first pick is going to be Caleb Williams to Chicago. The second pick is going to be Jaden Daniels to Washington. And the third pick is probably going to be Drake May to the New England Patriots. 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks all in a row. I guess I could see Drake May going second and Jaden Daniels going third. Personally, I look at Washington. I would be surprised if Washington didn't draft Jaden Daniels, given what he can do running, given the year he just had. There's a lot of back and forth, which guy's better. I saw a mock draft today that had the Vikings trading up to the third pick and drafting J.J. McCarthy, and then Drake May falling all the way to the 11th pick, where New England would be. Like, that seemed wild and unrealistic and just not going to happen, in my opinion. But I do, like, another prediction I want to make really quickly is I do anticipate Minnesota's going to trade up and go get J.J. McCarthy. Predictions here. Again, 1, 2, 3 picks. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. That's an easy one. Everyone's kind of making that prediction. That's just what I expect to happen. And then I'm hoping very much that the Minnesota Vikings are going to trade up and go get their guy, J.J. McCarthy. Now, one thing I want to talk about, the Chicago Bears have the first overall pick. We all know Caleb Williams is probably going to get drafted. I did see another draft, mock draft, that had Caleb Williams going second overall. And I'm like, how good of drugs are you on that you think the Bears are not going to draft Caleb Williams? Like, the mock draft season is very weird. You see the most unrealistic stuff. And that's part of why I don't want to do an hour and a half doing predictions on the draft. Like, NFL teams are very unpredictable. They make all kinds of crazy mistakes. They do stuff I don't agree with. And the predictions and the mock drafts, they're like all over the place. What I find more interesting is sitting down Thursday night being like, can you believe what happened? Can you believe this team traded up or that team traded up? Like, that's more fun to react than it is to try to anticipate what kind of nonsense may or may not happen on Thursday. But the Bears have the first pick and the 9th pick, and they've already got some really good offensive weapons. They've got DeAndre Swift at running back. They've got Cole Kmet at tight end. They've got two wide receivers, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. I think they're going to get their quarterback, Caleb Williams, with the number 1 pick. And I strongly, strongly believe Caleb Williams is going to be a home run franchise quarterback for them, the best quarterback in the history of the Bears, easily. I really believe that 100%. What's around him is great. The question after that, though, is what's the Bears' plan for the number 9 pick? Do they go get another receiver? Do they go stabilize their offensive line, get Joe Alt, the top lineman of the draft? Is he going to be available with that 9 pick? I don't know. I find it really fascinating. One possibility, you got Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Romo Dunze, you got a great tight end, Brock Bowers, Adonai Mitchell out of Texas, Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU. Like, there's a lot of really good weapons out there. Do they go with a safe pick and draft that 9th pick as an offensive lineman? Or does Chicago, like, double and triple down on the weapons around Caleb Williams and actually go get another receiver? Because imagine, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and then what if they get Romo Dunze or Brian Thomas Jr., another really good receiver in this draft? That would be fascinating. I like the idea of another receiver with that 9th pick. Because, like, Keenan Allen's awesome. DJ Moore is awesome.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keenan Allen's aging. DJ Moore is a veteran guy. He's been around a while. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to get another rookie to pair with Caleb Williams. That, like, they can build their career together. A young quarterback and a young rookie receiver. They can have a long, long partnership together in the NFL. The offensive line would make sense to me, too. But what I'm really hoping from the Bears, now it's not a prediction, but a hope, is that the Bears make 2 picks in the top 10 on the offensive side of the football. And this leads me to another question about the Bears is their head coach, Matt Eberflus, is a defensive head coach in an offensive-driven league. I think the Bears are going to get their quarterback. They're going to get another weapon on offense. But then the question is Matt Eberflus the guy long-term in Chicago? Right? It could be 1 year and Caleb Williams does well, but we feel like there's a lot left on the table. And then the Bears, for year two of Caleb Williams, go get an offensive genius head coach and say, we want to win now. We got a great quarterback. We got all the pieces around him. Let's be very clear. It's an offensive-driven league. I think it's very likely we're going to see the most offensive players ever drafted in the first round on Thursday. And, you know, the way the rules are going with player safety, with the hip drop tackle, with all the rules that skew heavily against the defense, making playing defense incredibly, incredibly difficult. I don't understand the value of having a defensive head coach. Right or wrong, we don't have to like where the NFL is, but we're in a position now where it's an offensive league. The way to win is with powerful offenses that score a bunch of points and take charge. And it might be that the key to winning a Super Bowl is a defense, but the Bears are so far away from a Super Bowl right now. They just want to win some games and have a good winning year. And I just double down. I'm not sure Matt Eberflus is the right coach long term to help the young career of Caleb Williams. We'll see what happens there. But what I'm really hoping is that the Bears draft will reflect the current NFL, which is, hey, it's an offense-driven league. You got 2 picks in the top 10. Go build your offense around that young quarterback. You got a great couple guys already. And double, triple down on Caleb Williams, because if the Bears score 40 points a game and they have a bad year and they lose, I'll be fine with that. I know that's crazy and going to make people mad. If they're giving up a bunch of points on defense, I can live with that. But I want to see them successful on offense next year, for the love of Mother Teresa, right? Like, if you watch Bears games in the last couple of years, it's been painful and frustrating. And there's been a lot of opportunities left on the table. I can't watch that next year in Chicago or 2 years from now in Chicago. They got to have a ton of pieces and a ton of success on offense. And if they lose but are really successful on offense, I can really handle that. What I can't handle is if they keep their defensive coach, they draft that 9th pick as a defensive player, and they really try to build their defense and it doesn't get them anywhere. That would really, really irritate me and drive me crazy. Here's a massive question for the NFL draft coming up. What is Denver going to do at quarterback? A lot of people are talking about Bo Nix, the quarterback out of Oregon. Remember, played at Auburn, transferred to Oregon, became a Heisman Trophy finalist. Bo Nix is not, how do I say this nicely? He's not the most physically gifted quarterback. He can run around a little bit. I like his ability to run. He can extend plays. Doesn't have the biggest arm, but he's got really good anticipation. He's really good at stuff underneath. And I heard a comparison this week that I really appreciated. He got compared to Drew Brees. And I was like, huh. Actually, like, you know, he's a better runner and not the same. Like, comparing anybody to Drew Brees is insanity. But skill set wise, like, maybe not the biggest arm, but maybe a really good distributor of the football. Gets the ball in the hands of their playmakers. And I look at Sean Payton in Denver and go, huh, that's really interesting. So what's Denver going to do at quarterback? Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix? We'll see. I want to be very clear about something, by the way. A big concern I have in this draft is Michael Penix Jr. A lot of people love Michael Penix Jr. The film was there. He made a lot of big-time throws. The film for Michael Penix Jr. is pretty good. I really like a lot of the stuff I saw. I thought he made a lot of big-time throws into really tight windows. He was really accurate downfield. Like, I feel uncomfortable being critical of Michael Penix Jr., but my concern with Michael Penix Jr. actually has very little to do with his play, which I know is weird, and I can already hear the anger and the frustration from certain people in the crowd, and I get it, whatever. But this is a player who blew out both of his shoulders and both of his knees. He had four major injuries in college football. And I'm not comfortable with that. Two torn ACLs, two massive shoulder injuries to each shoulder. I don't know, man. That really does concern me from the NFL level. Is he going to be available week to week? Like that, you know? And look, those happened in Indiana, his first college. Maybe Michael Penix Jr. is more of the player we saw at the end of his career at Washington. And that's possible. I'm open to that. And I don't know where to stand on Michael Penix Jr. Like, he seems like an awesome guy. Players love him. The locker room loves him. But I just look at him like a really interesting science experiment. Where is Michael Penix Jr. going to land? I think what's going to happen, you know, the top three quarterbacks we already talked about are going to come off the board. Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. I think J.J. McCarthy is the next quarterback. I think Bo Nix is a really good fit in Denver. Where does Michael Penix Jr. land? I think he could be, what would that be? He'd be like the sixth quarterback off the board, which I know is shocking to a lot of people. And maybe he'll be the best quarterback actually from this draft class, even though he's, you know, one of the guys drafted later. But I want to also offer this idea. If Michael Penix Jr. does fall down the draft board and ends up being a later first-round pick, let's acknowledge that'd be really good for him. The same way that it was really good for Jordan Love to go to Green Bay, sit behind Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years, go to a good team that's established, let him sit, let him learn. I think that falling in the draft is actually a really advantageous thing. It helped Lamar Jackson. I think that Michael Penix Jr. could be the sixth quarterback off the board. And then long-term, it could actually really help him because he's going to go to a better team that'll support him better early on in his career. But Michael Penix Jr. is the one quarterback in this draft class that I love him as a person, man. And he did a lot of good stuff on film. His final game in college was ugly, in my opinion. I thought he had a lot of pressure in his face and didn't put the ball where he needed to go. Go back and watch that game. There was a lot left on the table, in my opinion. It was a bad performance by him. Is that what the NFL is going to be like? Or is it going to be more like when he was playing Cal and Stanford and, you know, lower level former Pac-12 colleges? I have no idea. So that's Michael Penix Jr. is the quarterback that I feel the most uncertainty about. Because I making a strong prediction there, you're just really rolling the dice, asking for trouble. Making a prediction about Michael Penix Jr., you're asking yourself to look silly. Because if you say you love him, he's amazing, and he gets hurt and has a terrible career, you look stupid. But if you come out and say, you know, he's terrible, either side you can pick, I feel like it could go either way with him. And I don't feel comfortable picking a side with Michael Penix Jr. I just want to be very clear. I'm excited to see where he goes, to sit back, observe, and watch, and see what happens. And I'm going to root for him all the way. Now, one prediction and hope and whatever, I don't know what bucket this would fall in, this thing I'm going to say next, but Minnesota is by far the best place a young quarterback can go. And it's a uniquely really good fit for the former Michigan quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy in Denver doesn't make me feel great. Doesn't excite me. I feel weird about that. Denver is a... it's cold weather. You're playing in the snow. I think Sean Payton is interesting, but I don't know. J.J. McCarthy didn't do a lot of impressive stuff at Michigan. I've got concerns about him. The one place J.J. McCarthy could go where I would feel very confident he's going to succeed is Minnesota. It's a very unique situation. You've got Kevin O'Connell, a former quarterback, as head coach. You've got a lot of good weapons there. Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson at tight end, Jordan Addison, a receiver. You play indoors, by the way, where J.J. McCarthy's not the biggest guy, doesn't have the biggest arm. I think he's the kind of quarterback who could really benefit from playing inside in a dome for most of the year. They've also got Sam Darnold in Minnesota. So if J.J. isn't ready week one, he's not going to be forced into a situation where he's playing before he's ready. Sam Darnold can start for 1 to 10 weeks to a whole season. I think Sam Darnold actually could have a lot of success in Minnesota because of what they've got there, because of the weapons, because of the coaching staff. And if the offensive line isn't ready in Minnesota, Sam Darnold can take a beating until it is ready, and then you can put J.J. McCarthy in there. I think Minnesota is a great spot for any quarterback to go, but it's a particularly outstanding spot for J.J. McCarthy to go. And J.J. McCarthy in almost any other situation makes me kind of cringe and go, ooh, we'll see how that goes. But J.J. McCarthy to Minnesota is a place where I go, ooh, that's a specifically really outstanding fit. And you can't put a value on work ethic, by the way. You can't put a value or a numerical metric number, whatever the right word is there. You can't put a value on a quarterback's desire to learn and grow. And I think J.J. McCarthy, I've talked about this before, a guy I played against in high school football, James Price. He played college football with Josh Allen, and then he went to IMG Academy after playing in college and coached J.J. McCarthy in high school. He loves J.J. He talks about how the guy's passion for the game is unparalleled, and he's the kind of guy who is going to go into an NFL locker room and feel at home and be so excited just to be obsessed with the game of football. And like he's kind of like Jim Harbaugh. Like, I get paid for this. I think the love Jim Harbaugh has for football is very similar to what J.J. McCarthy has. I think J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota, it's a home run. Him with Kevin O'Connell and the people there. J.J. McCarthy to the Raiders makes me cringe and not feel great. J.J. McCarthy to Denver makes me go, ugh, they don't have great weapons. It's a cold weather city. There's bad weather there. But J.J. McCarthy to Minnesota specifically makes me really excited. I think he's a great fit there. And that's what I'm hoping happens. I hope J.J. McCarthy gets drafted by Minnesota, whether they trade up and get him, whether he falls to them with the 11th overall pick. I have no idea. But that is very much what I want to see on Thursday. Here's another question. We saw the Buffalo Bills get rid of Stephon Diggs this offseason. They traded him away. Is Buffalo going to go get a receiver in the first round? There's a lot of really good receivers available. I think Brian Thomas Jr., the receiver out of LSU, is a guy that in a lot of years would be a top 10 pick. Because of how deep this class is at receiver, with Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Romo Odunze, he's going to fall any year when, any other year, I think Brian Thomas Jr. would be one of the top receivers off the board. Whether it's Adonai Mitchell or Brian Thomas Jr., I want to see Buffalo go get one of these good receivers, get Josh Allen another weapon, get a younger, cheaper receiver to replace Stephon Diggs that's going to help your payroll, help your salary cap, and allow Josh Allen to have a new weapon to develop and work with. I think the Bills are kind of in rebuild mode, but they certainly need offensive weapons, and I'm really hoping and praying we see Buffalo go get a young receiver in this draft, whether they trade up or not. That's what I want to see happen. Now, there's a lot of teams in this draft, in my opinion, that need a quarterback. Not every team needs a quarterback as bad as some. Like Chicago, Washington, and the Patriots, those top three picks, they all need a franchise quarterback badly. I am certain they're drafting a quarterback. I feel really strongly about that. But then you got Minnesota with the 11th pick, Denver with the 12th pick. Either one of them could make a move and go get a quarterback. The New York Giants have the number 6 overall pick. They're a team that could trade down. They've got Daniel Jones, who looks like he's taking pills and doing all kinds of stuff. You look at his eyes, like, I've worked with guys who take Adderall, like, heavily. That's what Daniel Jones' eyeballs look like in some of the interviews he's giving recently. He's playing badly on the field. Is he the right guy to be their franchise quarterback? I'm not sure. The Giants could go get a quarterback, number 6 overall. The Raiders have the 13th pick. They could get a quarterback. They've got Gardner Minshew, who I love, but if Michael Penix Jr. is available, 13th overall, maybe the Raiders draft Penix Jr. to sit behind Gardner Minshew. Seattle's got the 16th overall pick. Maybe they draft a quarterback to sit and learn behind Geno. And then, like, Atlanta's got the 8th pick. They've got Kirk Cousins. I don't think Atlanta needs a quarterback anytime soon, but a lot of people are talking about that. I think what's going to happen with Atlanta is they end up drafting a quarterback like Spencer Rattler later in the draft. They go get a guy with high potential who can sit for a while behind Kirk and learn, because I think Kirk Cousins is their plan for the next 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 years if they're lucky in Atlanta. The Rams is another team, by the way, that I think... How do I say this? One second, I got a cough. The LA Rams are another team that have an aging veteran quarterback, Matthew Stafford, very similar to what's going on in Atlanta. They've got a guy they like who can be their quarterback for the next couple of years, but how long really? He's a veteran guy. At some point, he's going to come to the end of his career. They got to start thinking about that eventual future. I think the Rams are another team. They might be in the market for a quarterback. I mean, if they could make a move and go get Michael Penix Jr., 19th overall, if he's still there, they could pull the trigger and make that happen. I don't think they trade up to get him, but you never know. But that's another team. The Falcons and Rams are the two teams that I think could draft a quarterback like Spencer Rattler, the quarterback out of South Carolina. Now, the big wild cards in this draft, in my opinion, are Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. They're, I think, going to be the 5th and 6th quarterbacks drafted. Are they first-round picks? Probably. But maybe not. It's a question mark to me. I'm not convinced of that. And then where is Spencer Rattler going to get drafted? That's a big one that I think he's certainly not a first-round pick. Is he a second-round pick? Third-round pick? I have no idea. A couple of years ago, Spencer Rattler was viewed as a first-round pick in this NFL draft. He's awesome. Michael Pratt is awesome, the quarterback out of Tulane. Those are two guys to keep your attention for later on in the later rounds of the draft that I think have a lot of potential and ability to play well. Like, Michael Pratt to the Rams is actually a really fun idea, where he's the kind of guy playing in Sean McVay's system. Michael Pratt would be really fun to watch in the preseason. I would really, really love and enjoy seeing that. Another big question mark in the draft is which teams could trade down in the first round. The Chargers, a team that's a possibility for that to happen. Tennessee could do that. Arizona, I've seen mentioned a lot as a team that could trade down. I find that very unlikely, because really what Arizona needs, in my opinion, is a wide receiver. And I think they might just take Marvin Harrison Jr. and be like, look, the top 3 quarterbacks are gone. We're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. and build around our young quarterback, Kyler Murray, and, you know, double, triple down on the offensive side of the football. And I think Denver's a team that wants to trade down. But is there anybody that wants their pick? Denver with that 12th overall pick. I think one team could take Denver's 12th overall pick. That's Buffalo. Buffalo, like I said earlier, I want to see the Buffalo Bills go get Josh Allen, a new number one receiver. Go draft a rookie in the first round, Adonai Mitchell out of Texas, or Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Maybe the Buffalo Bills trade up with the Broncos and go get a receiver. That fascinates me. And another like little piece of nuance or interesting thing that happened recently with Denver is they traded for young quarterback Zach Wilson, formerly a top 5 pick, a guy who was supposed to be the franchise quarterback of the Jets. The Jets traded Zach Wilson and a 7th round pick to Denver, and the Jets got a 6th round pick from Denver. So the Jets moved up one spot in they got a 6th round pick. How do I say this? They got a 6th round pick for a 7th round pick in Zach Wilson, basically. They moved up one round of the draft to get a slightly better draft pick. What's happening here is that Denver and the Jets are splitting Zach Wilson's $5.5 million salary. They're each paying $2.75 million next year. Here's a big question. Does Denver drafting Zach Wilson impact the Denver Broncos' draft plans? I don't think so. I think that'd be wildly irresponsible. If Sean Payton looks at Zach Wilson and goes, that's my franchise quarterback, like, that's insanity, and I think certainly not what's going to happen. I think what really is happening is it's kind of like when Sean McVay went and got Baker Mayfield out of Carolina. It's a coach who loves the quarterback position, looking at a really cheap price tag going, let's have some fun. Let's experiment with a quarterback who's got a lot of talent. And I think no matter what you feel about Zach Wilson, it's undeniable the kid has some physical ability. He's a really talented kid. Now, can Zach Wilson develop the habits required to be a good NFL quarterback, make good decisions consistently, on and off the field, by the way? Is he mature enough to do that? Like, that's a huge question mark. But Zach Wilson playing for Sean Payton is a really, really interesting thing. But I'm really skeptical. How good of a quarterback coach is Sean Payton? Sean Payton worked really good with Drew Brees exclusively. But after Drew Brees left, right, we saw Jameis Winston go to New Orleans. We thought that was going to work. It didn't. He gave Taysom Hill a ton of money. That didn't become the franchise quarterback in New Orleans. Then Sean Payton went to Denver and got Russell Wilson, and that didn't work. So is Sean Payton really the quarterback genius we think he is? Or did he just have a Hall of Fame quarterback, Drew Brees, and they worked really well together? I mean, that's Sean Payton, in my opinion, in Denver, has to answer a lot of questions right now. He was viewed as a quarterback genius, and certainly he loves the quarterback position. But outside of Drew Brees, where is the massive monumental quarterback success? I guess Tony Romo, early on in Tony Romo's career, years ago in Dallas, and Drew Brees. And then after Drew Brees, it's been a lot of waiting for Sean Payton to show us he's the genius quarterback head coach whisperer we thought he was, and we haven't seen that happen. So this year, this offseason, is really kind of the defining moment for Sean Payton's career and for his ability to convince us he really does know what he's doing with young quarterbacks, whether that's Zach Wilson or Bo Nix, or maybe Denver does something crazy. Maybe they do trade down with Buffalo. They let Buffalo go get a quarterback or go get a receiver in the first round. And maybe what Denver does is draft like Spencer Rattler and they traded for Zach Wilson. But if that's their plan, I find that really irresponsible in my opinion. And I don't believe that Denver trading for Zach Wilson impacts their quarterback plan in the first round. I think, again, it's a coach who likes quarterbacks, who found one available for cheap, who likes tinkering with the position. They got him for nothing. But I cannot imagine that the plan in Denver is for Zach Wilson to be competing for the starting job in August. That just, to me, that's wildly irresponsible. Like, I think you're really betting your whole career on Zach Wilson at that point. And that just seems wild to me. Like, that's not going to happen. So anyone writing into the show saying, hey, is Zach Wilson the plan for Denver? No. And if that does not impact their draft plans at all. Not that I think anyone believes that, but let's be very clear on that. I think Denver goes and gets Bo Nix. I like that idea. And I'm really excited for Thursday to find out what they do at the quarterback spot in the first round of the NFL draft. Now, there's one more thing we got to talk about. We talked about Denver a lot. This will be very short. I encourage you to go look at the Denver Broncos new jerseys because, oh boy, man, they're awful. They really are. Like, I saw the new jersey release in Denver and went, oh boy, that's your plan? If that's your plan with jerseys, maybe their plan really is Zach Wilson at quarterback. I have no idea. But if you want some entertainment value, they're not like ugly necessarily. They're just really corporate and like boring. They look like remember the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, that league from like 2018, 2019? I went and watched I saw a San Diego Fleet Alliance of American Football game live in San Diego at what used to be Qualcomm Stadium, the old stadium that got destroyed in San Diego now. I went to an AAF game and saw the San Diego Fleet. The Denver Broncos new jerseys look like an Alliance of American Football jersey situation, uniform combination. It's really bad. It's like, ooh, you're an NFL team? That's the best you could come up with? Like, I think I could do better in Madden's create a team, like, situation I don't know. The jerseys are terrible. The uniforms are awful. The combination's weird. I don't like it at all. If you want some entertainment value, go look at the Denver Broncos new jerseys. But once again, this episode is just kind of a primer for the NFL draft, particularly for Thursday. I love the first round. I can't wait to watch Caleb Williams hold up a Bears jersey, watch Drake May get drafted, Jaden Daniels get drafted, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. We're going to watch the fortune of a lot of young men monumentally change on Thursday night. It's going to be really fun. where the quarterback's going to go, who's going to trade down, does Buffalo go get a receiver, and what surprises are going to happen, because undoubtedly, things are going to happen that you and I can't predict that makes us go, whoa, did you expect that? And that's the thing I can't wait to talk about. You'll see that episode, a recap, a reaction to the NFL draft round one. You'll see that Friday morning. That's what I look forward to. It's going to be a lot of fun to react to that, have fun with that situation. Guys, that's all I got today. I told you it was going to be a very short episode. I love you very much. I really appreciate you. And man, enjoy the NFL draft. It's going to be so much fun. I'll talk to you Friday morning. Have a great day. And ba-dum-bum, bam, we are done.